getting you home. This is 105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Award-winning broadcaster Trevor Dan is to present... Look, I haven't got the microphone up yet. Let's start this again.
Stop it, I said. Stop it.
Broadcaster Trevor Dan is to present a new series for Cambridge 105 in which he interviews some of the university city's brightest stars. The first edition of Cambridge Minds will be broadcast this Saturday. It features statistician Sir David John Spiegelhalter, OBE, FRS, and Master of Selwyn College, Roger Mosey. Trevor is with me now, as you've probably gathered. Hello, Trevor.
Good evening. He's a clover, not a fighter.
Yes, that's a different one. I've heard that one before. What is it about Cambridge? I'm wondering, the series is called Cambridge Minds, but there's the university, but there's other places
Indeed.
Around the city. And your story, because you were at university here.
Well, Cambridge Minds is a sort of a bit of a double entendre there, you see. Everywhere I go and ever have been in this town, city, which I came to as a student, as an undergraduate in 1971, for goodness sake. Everywhere I go, I meet clever people, much cleverer than I am. Some of them are at one of the two universities. Some of them work in the Science Park. Some of them work in galleries and in media and in all sorts of other creative activities in this city. And I think that sometimes we don't allow them to reach out, and sometimes actually they don't feel they should. And part of my job, I think, is to go and say, oi, I think you should reach out and tell people what you do. And when I ring people like David Spiegelhalter and Roger Mosey and ask them to come on the show, what I say is that it's a bit like going in a wine bar and meeting a stranger who says, so what the hell do you do then? And that's the feel that I'm trying to get from it. What is on their Cambridge minds?
And how many of these people who you'll hear in the series did you know anyway? Are these people you've bumped into at dinner parties on the Cambridge circuit? Or are they people who you think, that's an interesting person, wonder what they've got
I
to say?
I would love to be on the Cambridge circuit of dinner parties. And perhaps when we go off air, you'll tell me how I achieve that.
Oh, no, not me.
No, David Spiegelhalter, I did not know. I'd heard of him. I'd seen him on YouTube, actually. And a friend of mine, Bill Thompson, had told me he was great, and he was. Roger Mosey, I used to know at the BBC. Subsequent guests include Jim Secord from the Darwin Project at the university. I had met him. And David Tong, it's all gone, David Tong, from the physics department, maths department of the university. I have never met him, but I know that he's a clever man and I wanted to meet him. So in a way, this is an excuse for me to ring some clever people who otherwise wouldn't take my call.
This sounds rather like when I was doing magazines. If ever there was a subject I didn't know much about, I just commissioned somebody to write an article about it for me, then I just enjoy the results.
Isn't it the coolest thing, though, that when you work in media, you have an excuse to ring somebody up for no reason at all? I do a lot of mentoring of students, and I say you'll never have a better opportunity to simply be a fan. You know, you could, if you want to get in touch with, you know, an MP, a top industrialist, a pop star, it doesn't matter who it is, if they think that they're doing some good for you and you really want to meet them, they might communicate with you in a way that if you just ring up and say, hello, I'm a fan, they never will. Mm.
I was intrigued by David Spiegelhalter. He's very accessible,
I thought. He's such a cool guy. And he speaks to me a lot because we're roughly the same sort of age, which I'll describe as over 50. And he says, I'm now so old I can do what I like. And I have a lot of sympathy for that argument. He has this fantastic job title, which is, professor of the public study of risk. And his job is to reach out to the public and explain what he does. And he is a statistician, which, as he says, is a job that makes people think that you must be boring. And he agrees that lots of other statisticians are, in fact, boring. He is not boring. He's really good at helping you understand, OK, so if I understand statistics, can I predict that Cambridge United will or won't be relegated? Can I predict that I will fall off my bike if I cycle to work five times a week? All that kind of stuff. And he does it in a very engaging way that is designed in that very good way, to say I'm clever and the work I do is clever and my colleagues are clever, but what we do has relevance to you whether you're clever or not.
We've got a clip here of David Spiegelhalter, and here he's talking about why we should be suspicious of what you read in the press.
Now, you say you're a statistician, everyone yawns. If you say, God, did you hear that news story yesterday about the latest claims about alcohol, about food, about unemployment, then everyone says, yes, yeah, I thought it was terrible, awful. You know, did you see what the Daily Mail did with those numbers or whatever? And everyone, you know, wants to talk to you. So, and especially because I tend to get involved in slightly more controversial stuff, you've got to beat people away.
As a whole, we do misunderstand and misuse statistics, don't we? Are you in the Tim Harford camp of just being very suspicious of every use of percentages and statistical information in news bulletins?
I'm afraid, yeah. I'm a sceptical, grumpy old man now. I've even got a rule of thumb that the very fact that a statistic is being mentioned in a news bulletin or in a magazine programme or in a newspaper is a reason to disbelieve it. The very fact that it's there, because in order for some news story to get there with some statistic, it's had to go through so many filters. It's got to be new. It's got to be different. It's got to be interesting. All of which almost guarantee that it's wrong.
That's him. That's him actually in a nutshell. He's very engaging. And, you know, I'm sure there are people listening to us now who think, what you mean you're going to talk to two people for half an hour each for an hour of radio and there's going to be no music? They might think, that's not for me, that's a bit Radio 4. But I would urge you to give these guys a listen, because they really are interesting. And talk, speech, whatever we're going to call it, it can be very interesting.
And it does have a Cambridge feel to it as well, you know, particularly towards, all the way through, but at the end there's some very Cambridge questions.
I've actually imported an old idea from my BBC Radio Cambridgeshire breakfast show that I used to do 10 years ago called the Cambridgeshire Questionnaire, where I ask people about places they like to walk, you know, restaurants they like to go to, all that kind of stuff. And I'm hoping that it overall, you know, as the series rolls on, it gives people a sense that these great minds are people who inhabit the same city as we do. And how cool is it? You know, I say to Roger Mosey, what is your favourite shop? And he says, John Lewis. I won't give away what David Spiegelhalter says, because his answer is, if anything, even funnier and less, you know, less obvious, more surprising.
But it's the kind of thing we find around the city. I had to go to my opticians a few months ago, and they reminded me, I better not say which one it is, but reminded me when the lady who runs it took over the practice 20 years ago, there were still about a dozen Nobel Prize winners on the books.
Well, isn't that one of the extraordinary things that sometimes we miss out on in this, you know, town v gown thing that's been going on for centuries? We miss out on the fact that we do live in a community full of very clever, very stimulating, very motivational people. And sometimes it's easy to be a bit pooey about that and say, well, who are these guys, you know, in their superannuated ivory towers? But actually, they're walking the same pavements and going to the same Primarchs and, you know, going on the same trains as we are. And they're interesting to talk to us, so I think we should reach out to them. That's what this series is trying to do, I think.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to hearing it on Saturdays. I get once a month on a Saturday, and coming up, I think it's about 3 o'clock. It's going to be going out.
I'm looking for a better slot. You know, I'm talking to your scheduler, Tim, and I'm saying, better slot, please.
You want an early right-hand page, as we used to say in the magazines.
Yes, I think he's rightly taking the view that he wants to wait and see how good they are. Well, I'll tell you what, Tim. First one's a stonker.
The one thing I will mention, you know, a lot of people who know about your background will think, hang on a moment, he started off doing music, and gradually he's sort of moved towards the speech thing. Is that a sort of conscious decision, or just something which interested you?
I think you could say, I'm not saying I'm the same as Jonathan Miller, but you wouldn't say to him, hang on a minute, you started off in comedy and then surgery, you can't do an opera. I think we're all interested in a whole range of things. You know, and the best work I've ever done on the radio has been speech-based, even though some of it has been about musical topics. Yes, I'm interested in music. I'm very interested in what we do here at Cambridge 105, the new music chart, all that kind of stuff. Still very animated by that. But I'm also interested in what people say and what they think about. And I don't think the two are, you know, mutually incompatible.
Oh, that's good. Trevor, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
Trevor Dan's Cambridge Minds, Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock. Details on the website, cambridge105.fm.